The mute button was on. Oops. Okay, so can you keep a promise? So I said I typed up 7 pages, 12-point font of your promises from last night. Promises you made to God. And so I tried to cull about 20 or 30 of them to share with you this morning. Promises you've made to God. I will ask Jesus if there's a Disney World in heaven. Second promise, to not be as mean, to sing in public. So God's talking to somebody about using their talents for His glory. Somebody else said to use my talents for Him, to stop doing stupid things.
I should have made that one.
To be a better person. I promise to follow all the rules that you want me to follow. To help spread the word of God and tell people about camp. Oh, I doubled that one. I promise I'll preach the word. I will preach God's word. So God's calling some folks to be preachers of the gospel. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The church is in a shortage right now all across the United States of ministers. There's a huge shortage. And one of the main reasons there's a shortage of ministers is because we're not being called. And one of the main reasons we're not being called is because we as the church aren't challenging our young people to mind God and find His will for their lives. And God has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is, but God does. And if you'll pray and seek His face, He'll guide you into that plan. God wants me in ministry to help grow His kingdom. He has big plans for me and my family. I promise to be faithful to Him. I'll pray more. Somebody said, I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow deeper and closer to God. Well, you're in a good place. Yeah. I promise that I would be faithful and fruitful in God's work and in my marriage. That's a good promise, isn't it? I promise to read my Bible more often. I promise I will get saved. God wants me to get saved this week. 2 promises like that. I think I saw at least a third. So some of us right here in this room are saying, I need Jesus and I know it. Well, I tell you, you're in the right place to find Him.
Yeah.
You're in the right place. And if that's where you are even right now, all you have to do is stand up and say, that is I, and I can get Pastor Mark back here, I can get Pastor Carlos back here, and you can go with one of them and pray right now and ask Jesus into your heart. So if anybody wants to get up and go with one of these pastors right now, stand up and go. They'll pray with you to be saved. Next thing. I promise to listen intently to God and to obey Him wholeheartedly. I promise to listen. Oh, I doubled that. Sorry. I did this pretty fast, you can tell. I promise God at each of my children's dedication that I would bring them up in the Lord. I like that. I promise to learn God's ways. He wants me to listen to Him. He wants me to listen and learn about Him and to teach people about Him. That I would help my mom the next time I see her. And the one who said this came up to me and talked to me afterwards and told me about this. And there's real brokenness there. There's a lot of hurt there. And there's a real desire to see their mother saved and come to Jesus Christ. Pray for reconciliation. This person talked to me and there's brokenness in their family relationships. And they want God to heal that. Somebody else, a young lady said, I want to marry a man who follows God and I want to live for You. Young ladies, that is a tremendous ambition. That is a tremendous ambition. I know girls who like bad guys. What is this about girls chasing after bad boys? Guess what? If he's bad and you think that's cute, you know what? He's going to be bad to you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
There it is. To quit drinking. Alcohol is the drug of choice among young people. A lot of young people are starting drinking at 11, 12 years of age. I'm going to get into that more probably tomorrow morning in our lesson. Huge issue. To promise not to drink or smoke. to stay pure and live in the white, not in the gray. You know, there's the white and there's the black. And when they kind of blend over, some of us kind of see some gray areas. We see a whole lot more gray areas than God sees. But to live in the white, not into the gray. To sell out 100% to God. What an awesome promise for this week of camp. I am going to give myself completely to God. And when we do that, if we trust Him, He'll fill us with His Spirit and sanctify us wholly. And that's when God can use us maximally for His glory. I will not look at dirty videos or pictures on the internet. Whoa, that's a huge issue, isn't it? Internet porn is just taking over. And it'll rob your soul. I'm reading a book right now that I'm going to use as a textbook for my class in Mass Media and Society this fall at Kentucky Mountain Bible College on Wired for Intimacy. And it talks about the impact of pornography on the male brain. And it destroys a man's soul. Pornography destroys a man's soul. Destroys the ability to have meaningful sexual relations. Destroys the ability to bond with your wife like you'd like to. It's just a corrupting influence. And the Bible calls it fornication. Let's just call it what it is, might as well. That I wouldn't lust. To stay a virgin. That's an awesome pledge. I made that pledge to God that I would remain a virgin until I got married. And it's so cool to watch what happens in the lives of young people, the innocence when they're virgins on their wedding day. My wife was able to counsel our daughter and guide her in the early days of marriage. And I was able to counsel and guide my son in the early days of his marriage. And they were virgins when they got married. And the answer to mom and dad's prayers, praise God. And the innocence, the wonder, the newness, the freshness was incredible because they did it God's way. No sex until marriage. And so that's where we want to go today. And I want to have some folks help me in a series I'm going to be teaching this week titled, Your Body is the Temple of the Holy Ghost. Lindsay, come read our first verse and our key verse for us and get us started off on this.
Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
Thank you, Lindsay. That will be our key verse as we consider this lesson. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, what's a temple? What's a temple? Anybody? A dwelling place of God. It might be considered a house of worship. Okay? A temple. A place that God lives in. Did you know your body is intended to be God's temple? Your body does not belong to you. Come on. Your body's not yours.
That's right.
Oh, people say, it's my body, I can do with it what I want to. Wrong. That's contrary to God's word. Yeah. It's not my body. When I got married, guess what? I gave my body to somebody. You know who gave my body to? My wife. And this old hunk of bones and hunk of fat flesh belongs to her. And you know what the Bible tells me? Her body belongs to me. But our bodies belong to the living God. We are to be His temple. God doesn't want us to share our bodies with sexual immorality. He doesn't want us to share our bodies with drunkenness. He doesn't want to share, and this is controversial. I'll get into this on Wednesday. He doesn't want us to share our bodies with tattooings and cuttings and slashings.
That's right.
And Nick's going to help me teach that lesson. He doesn't want us to share our bodies with profane and vulgar speech.
Yeah.
Our bodies are be God's temple. So as Lindsay read for us already, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Now let's see if we can develop some scriptures about God inhabiting our body and God's plan for our bodies to help us to live in sexual purity by His grace. Now, before we get to the scriptures, I want to show you some scientific research and some findings that are out in the public domain with regard to sexual sin. This is from Trevor Thomas in The War on the Family Rages On. 40% of all newborn babies born in the United States are delivered to unmarried mothers. And that percentage has grown 10 times since 1950, according to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. Now, I'm not here to beat up on single moms. No. That's not where I'm coming from. But I'm here to establish God's standard. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has a standard.
That's right.
And God wants children to grow up in homes with both mommy and daddy. That's God's design.
Yeah.
I know there were things with my kids when they were growing up that I could help them with that my wife couldn't help them with. And things that my wife could help our kids with that I couldn't touch. I was a better parent, I think, of my kids when they were under 12 years of age. And my wife was a better parent when they were 12 and above. Isn't that crazy? We tag team. We helped each other. 72% of African American children in the United States are born out of wedlock, according to the Centers for Disease Control. 52% of Hispanic children are born out of wedlock, according to the CDC in Atlanta. And 40% of babies overall. Shacking up is a huge issue. We call it cohabitation when we're being polite, and when we're being plain, we say shacking up because we all know what that means. It's normal for people anymore to get shacked up before they get married. When they get engaged, they shack up. But is that God's design? No, no. God's design is that we start a home together after we get married, that we don't play house before we do. That's God's design. So what happens when people go against God's design? Well, 39% of those who shack up before marriage have a subsequent marital infidelity. They cheat on each other. There's a 65% greater risk of the marriage breaking up or the relationship breaking up if they just shack up. 65% greater risk. There's three times the physical aggression in couples that are shacked up as opposed to people who are married. By physical aggression, I mean fights, pushing, shoving, swearing, yelling, in your face. More disagreements, quarrels, and aggression. Twice as likely to divorce if they do get married as people who haven't shacked up before marriage. Illegitimacy increases. Girls, I'll tell you, if you want a recipe to be beat on, cussed at, fought with, cheated on, and abandoned by your husband, shack up before you get married. If you want that to be your life, you increase the probability of it greatly by starting your relationship in a way contrary to God's law. This is not going to bless everybody, but it is truth, and I'm wanting to help you with it. Here's some truth on fatherless children. So many kids are growing up without dads. Fatherless children are twice as likely to be suspended or expelled from school. Fatherless children are twice as likely to be arrested in juvenile crime. And this is the daddy's fault. And young men, you may be growing up fatherless, but I want to encourage you. Young girls, you may be growing up fatherless, but let's break that cycle by God's grace.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's step up and let's be men.
Amen.
And let's love our children and stand by them and stand by their mama in holy marriage till death us do part. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says 85% of children with behavioral disorders don't have a father at home. Trevor Thomas goes on. He says, fatherless children are much more likely to abuse drugs, commit suicide, and run away from home. They're more likely to have lower academic achievement, lower self-esteem. Children born to unwed mothers are about 7 times more likely to live in poverty than children with fathers in the home. And the movie stars will popularize single parenting. They'll popularize unwed motherhood and having girls having babies. And, you know, whoever the movie star is, name a movie star who's recently had a baby and she's not married. Well, there was a movie star that starred in a movie about dancing. She was a ballerina and she recently had an unwed child, or she was unwed and had a baby. I can't remember all the names, but it's popular in Hollywood, you see, but they can afford the child care because they're millionaires. And we can increase our children's likelihood of living in poverty when we follow the sinful plan of our broken, fallen world. So we're back to the scripture now, and I need Julia, the joyful Julia, to come and read it for us.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Thank you, Julia. You see, this scripture is one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it reminds us that the New Testament church in the first century, 2,000 years ago, was filled with people like us. I mean, it was filled with fornicators, people who were sexually immoral, people who worshipped idols, people who committed adultery. It was filled with people who used to be homosexuals. It was filled with people who used to be child molesters. It was filled with thieves. It was filled with covetous. It was filled with drunks. It was filled with partiers. It was filled with old sinners who had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and had become the children of God by faith. Would you get that for me? Tell them I'm busy right now. Thank you. Do you all hear me? Amen. We're going to go. But the glory of it is we don't have to stay there. We can be transformed through the grace of Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And if you're beating yourself up with guilt because you say, Dr. John, you've been reading my mail. You must have my Facebook page. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to love you and to point you to Jesus and the power of His transforming grace in our lives. Glory to God. Now I need another reader. Georgie. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 13b.
Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord as one spirit with Him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man...
Here, read it here. Every sin that a man does...
Okay. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality against his own body, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God and who you were not from your own. For you were bought at price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Beautifully done. Thank you. And then, who's my next reader? Abby? Abby, come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14.
Do not unequally yoke together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?
Thank you, Abby. And then I need Rosa with Ephesians chapter 5. Come on.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. All his children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord.
Well done. Thank you. In Ephesians 5:11, Luke.
And have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light.
To make manifest means to make visible. And then we're back to Lindsay. This is a powerful passage on God's design for our sexual fulfillment that is to be found in marriage.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Amen. And then Ephesians 5:33. Julia?
Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Thank you, Julia. Hebrews chapter 13:4, Georgie.
Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge.
Excellent. Abby, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God.
And when he says vessel, he's talking about our bodies. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 6, Rosa, verses 6-8.
That no one should take advantage of, defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we also forewarn you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit.
Now, let's talk about some application of this truth that we've looked at. We've read a lot of scriptures. And the theme of scripture, thank you guys, beautifully done. Give them a hand. The theme of God's Word is that He's calling us to a kind of sexual fulfillment that happens within His boundaries. It happens within the boundaries of His love and guidance for our lives. Now, you all know what this is? What is it? It's a $20 bill. Okay, have you ever used a 20 at the store? Have you seen them pull out that little yellow marker and they're checking to make sure it is the real thing? Now, did you know that the 20 is the most popularly counterfeited piece of American currency? Did you know that? 20s, if something's going to be counterfeited, it's usually 20s. What gives a counterfeit its bogus value? Pardon? It looks real. Okay. What gives a counterfeit its bogus value? The value of the real thing. There has to be something real for there to be a counterfeit. And when it comes to your sex lives and God's plan for your sexual fulfillment, God has the real thing. And His design is that you're fulfilled in holy marriage, one man with one woman till death us do part. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But Satan has lots and lots and lots of fake 20s. And you know what we do? We find ourselves shortcutting God's design, and we try spending fake 20s. You know it? And while I can tell you this, there is no source of greater pleasure, fulfillment, and satisfaction in your life than that sexual fulfillment with one man and one woman bonded together in holy matrimony till death us do part. But on the other hand, there is no greater source of pain and brokenness and hurt and woundedness than satisfying your sexual needs outside of God's design. I've done a lot of counseling of Bible college students across the last 20 years, and over they've come into my office. And you know, the most common thing the young people talk to me about in their brokenness, with tears coursing down their faces, is sexual brokenness. One young lady was in my office just recently and wept tears, and for about the first time in her life, she told a number of people that she'd been molested as a child. For about the first time in her life, she saw somebody get angry at what she had had to suffer. And it's wrong. And it breaks my heart and it breaks the heart of God. And that's not your fault if you've been molested as a child. 40% of all girls will be raped, molested, or sexually assaulted by the time they're 18. And so I know you're dealing with that. But I just want to tell you, God loves you and you're a whole person to God, and He wants to make you feel whole. Young people are having early and earlier sexual encounters as young as 11 and 12 years of age. I know that. But I want to tell you, God has a design for your sexuality that is beautiful if it's fulfilled in God's plan. And He can redeem your life no matter how bad Satan's tried to mess it up.
That's right. Yeah.
And He wants to touch you at the point of your brokenness and heal you with His grace. Everybody's broken, only in different spots. But a lot of us are broken right here.
Yeah.
And a lot of you guys are broken right here. And can I say, God wants to pour His grace right in where you're broken.
Yeah.
And He wants to make you whole. It starts with true confession and repentance, where you mourn your own sins, your own choices. You mourn those before God. And you trust Him to forgive you and appropriate His grace. Man, oh days. Oh, I've got to keep moving. Let me just answer some simple questions. Who gave you your sex drive?
God.
It's His idea. And when He made us and put sex drive in us, He said it was good. How does God intend us to fulfill our sexual desires? Say it with me. Through marriage.
Through marriage.
Is sex good or bad?
Good.
In God's design, it's good. We twist it and warp it in our sinfulness, and there's nothing we can make quite more evil than human sexuality.
Yeah.
Once we get done sinning with it. Why is it the sexual sins wound us more deeply and permanently than most other sins? Because it strikes to the very core of our personhood, the most intimate, secreted part of our human experience. And I'm probably talking to some adults today that even talking about this is stirring some regrets in your own life from way back. Can I just remind you, if it's under the blood, leave it there? What God has cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. God told Peter. And if God's cleansed you and given you life in Christ, don't let the old devil, even when I'm preaching a simple truth like this, a good biblical truth like this, don't let the old devil pull it out from under God's grace. Keep it under the blood. Amen. That's good preaching, Dr. John.
Amen.
Why does God impose biblical laws to regulate our sexuality? Because He wants to protect us and He wants us to be fulfilled. And He knows that can only happen maximally within His design. What's the eternal destiny of the unrepentant fornicator? Revelation 22:15 tells us, outside are the dogs, outside are the fornicators. They don't make it to heaven. They go to hell. I have a good friend named Candace. She's a Free Methodist pastor up in the state of West Virginia. And Candace had a daughter that I love who grew up with my son, and beautiful young lady, but she cheapened herself and she sinned sexually. She was shacked up with a guy and then had his baby and they got married, and then she left him and she shacked up with another guy. And that second guy that she was shacked up with went out to dinner with Candace and her daughter. Pastor Candace was there and she said, "Well, I'll not come on to him too strong tonight. I've just met him. This is the first time we've gone out for dinner today." But as they left the restaurant that night, 10 minutes later, that young man was driving the car, fell asleep at the wheel, went into a terrible crash, and he was taken out into eternity like that. Pastor Candace looked at me and she said, "John, I can never again be silent because the Bible says fornicators go to hell, and I must warn of that eternal reality." What's the point of waiting for sex until marriage? Because it's God's design. And when we do, we are maximally fulfilled. What's the point of sticking with one sex partner for the rest of my life? Well, do I need to tell you about sexually transmitted diseases? Do I need to tell you about giving part of yourself away over and over again? I'd like to take two wooden blocks and I'd like to glue them together up here and put them under a clamp. And I'd like to bring them back to you about 6 years later. Do you see my two wooden blocks that I have glued together? Can you see them? And now you're going to take the chisel. Would you take the chisel in your hand? You got the chisel? You got the hammer? I want you to pop them apart for me, will you? You got it? Pow! What happens when I pop them apart? Part of one's left on the other. And when we bonded with someone else sexually, part of ourselves is left all over them. And if we do that with multiple partners throughout our lives, we are giving ourselves away over and over and over. And it's no wonder we're empty afterwards and broken and hurting. What does God's Word, the Bible, teach us about cohabitation without the benefits of marriage? The Bible teaches us that it's fornication. It's sin. What does God's Word, the Bible, teach us about sex outside of marriage? It's sin. What does God's Word teach us about friends with benefits? You know, no strings attached. We're just buds. We're going to hang out. And if we feel like it, we'll have sex together. And no strings attached. No obligations to each other. It's just casual sex. Everybody has needs. It's just sex. Come on, you've heard it. You've said it. It's sin. And it leaves us scarred and broken. What are the advantages of following God's design for my sexual fulfillment in every way? Those advantages far outweigh the path of sin. Far outweigh the path of sin. I've been married to be 29 years next month. And I praise God for my wife. I'm crazy about her. Brian traveled to the West Coast with me. And he more than once he said, "You guys just go away." We flirted with each other and carried on something awful, didn't we, Brian? That was 1998. Yeah. Right. And now he makes me blush. So the advantages are in every way. God's design is beautiful and perfect. If we'll follow His plan, it will lead to maximum fulfillment in your life. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? God wants to live inside your temple. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you pray this prayer with me in your hearts, just silently as we bow here before God? Dear God, You made my body. It's Yours. I want You to live in me. I want my body to be Your temple. I promise, as God is my helper, to obey God's laws, as it relates to my body. Lord Jesus, I thank You for this awesome group of young people. I thank You for those who read Scripture for me this morning. And I thank You for those gathered here. And Lord, there's some that are already making these pledges that they're saying, "I'm going to keep my body pure. I'm going to keep it for my husband or my wife. And I'm not going to join my body with anybody else until I'm married." And I pray, Lord, that all across. across this room, that every young person here, under the sound of my voice, would be reminded from this day forward, even if I've sinned sexually in the past, from this day forward, I will keep God's law. Then, Lord, I pray for married folks here and adults. Sexual temptation is always going to be with us in this world. And I pray, Lord, you would help the adults here and the married folks here that they would freshen their commitment to treat their body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. To keep their commitment before God and man. For Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this powerful truth. May it grip our hearts. May we let the Holy Spirit live inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for being so attentive. You guys have been an awesome audience this morning. So you participated so well and responded so beautifully. Thank you. Super. Super. I'm proud of you. Okay, Brother Mark.